You're listening to The Pipeline Show with Guy Flaming.
I know that, dude.
Welcome back to The Pipeline Show, final segment of this week's or this weekend's edition of The Pipecast. And we're going to wrap things up with a good friend of the show, and Mark Edwards, the man behind HockeyProspect.com. We do it throughout the season leading up to the NHL draft, and they always do a fantastic job of telling you everything you want to know about draft-eligible players. Everything culminating with the Black Book that comes out right before the draft. It's become the staple for all of us draft junkies. And we bring Mark in, courtesy of the Art Slinger Hotline. And Mark, I haven't talked to you really since we sat and watched a few games in Bonneville at the World Junior A Challenge back in December. How's things?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's we haven't spoken since I saw you there, and it was good to see you there. And I enjoyed that event. I thought that was... There was some pretty good hockey there and a few prospects that played really well. So that was, other than the cold, it was an enjoyable trip. And came back. December was pretty much international month because I came home, caught up on a little OHL, and then went off and did World Junior Ice and the Montreal time.
Yeah, outside of the weather, Bonneville was a pretty good tournament for sure. All right, we're going to talk about five or six guys for the 2017 draft, which seems to be getting closer and closer, and it's only, what, about 4.5 months away now. So still lots of hockey to be played. A lot of things can change. And one of them, we're going to start with Casey Mittelstadt, who began the year in the USHL with the Green Bay Gamblers, went back to high school, and at the time he left, he was leading the USHL in scoring. So really interesting decision for him to go back and finish off his high school career. I believe he's due to come back to the USHL, though, correct?
Yeah, he's going to come back. I was just talking to a scout the other day who said, I think March 17th weekend is the weekend he comes back. And it was actually interesting. I was in Halifax recently, and I was talking to a scout there who was in Halifax, but he's a USHL-based guy. And we were talking about Mittelstadt and his schedule. He's asking me, my plans. And I was talking about just having looked and scheduling to come in there. And he said, well, you better get on it because, Green Bay in playoffs, it's iffy. So then that led me to think and ask him the question, would Green Bay trade him? Would they not want to get something for that asset? And he said that that was a possibility. And then since that weekend, I spoke to another USHL-based scout and kind of posed that to him, and he said he had already asked Green Bay and they're not trading them. So take all that info for what it's worth. But bottom line is I was just scouring the other day trying to figure out when I'm going to go and where I'm going to go to see him, because he'll be back apparently March 17th weekend, and they've got a few games left on their schedule, whether they make the playoffs or not.
From a scouting perspective, you have the opportunity to see him in the USHL or in high school. Do you want to see both, or do you wait till he's at the higher level in the USHL? How do you weigh that?
Well, for me, obviously on our budget, I'm not making a trip to Minnesota to watch him in high school hockey. And I can tell you that just with my discussions with some NHL guys, some don't have much interest in watching him there either. But there was a few weekends where there was double headers available. So he was playing in the afternoon and Ryan Poehling was playing at night. Right. So obviously for scouts, when they have that opportunity, they're not going to skip seeing him in the afternoon when they can go to the double header and on the same trip see both him and Ryan Poehling. This is a kid I really like. He plays with pace. I think he's a poised, patient player. There's plenty of skill there. I like the way he'll buy himself time. With his, puck skill abilities. He's a pretty slick playmaker. I think he's a creative player. He's smart, which obviously, when he's talked to me in the past, that's a big thing. I look for that hockey IQ. He's got a great motor. He's not afraid to win pucks for himself. He'll go into some dirty areas. He's got those quick hands that I think he really flashes and he can score. I was kind of surprised, he wasn't really getting talked about more. We had him sixth in the preseason. We had him fifth in November, fourth in December, and third last month. And we're getting ready next week for our next rankings. But I don't know. I just didn't see much, on Twitter, not much talk about him. So I don't know if it was just the fact that he went back to high school so early or something. But this shocked me a little bit. I know Bob just popped him up there pretty high. I actually was sitting right beside Bob at the prospects game. We talked a little bit about him briefly, but that'll probably get him a little more talk. And so I had to go try and see him, and also Dylan Sandberg, the Hermantown high school kid. Originally, I heard he was going to play golf and wasn't going to come back to the USHL, but I'm hearing that that same weekend he might come back, and he'll be with Waterloo. And, of course, I'm scheduled to see Waterloo right now on March 3rd before he comes back, so that'll probably be an extra trip.
All right. With Mittelstadt, interesting because, like you said, Green Bay and playoffs probably not going to be a big factor for them. I wonder if he ends up going to the U18s. The U.S. national team will send their squad, but they usually add a player or two. Have to think Mittelstadt would be in that mix.
He can't.
Why is that? Too old?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate for him then.
Yeah, so this is the thing. He's kind of got the limited chances to kind of get showcased against the higher skill level here. Right. I mean, he's done that in the past, but for this season, it was one of the biggest disappointments that he didn't come to the World Junior A Challenge in Bonneville because of that fact that we knew he was going to have limited opportunities to play against some higher level talent here this season. I was hoping he'd get an invite to World Junior camp as well.
Yeah, and you're right, a late birthday at being a November birthday from 98. So he did play in the U18s last year and was more than a point per game guy. So I guess.
Yeah, he was fantastic there. So
yeah.
It's.
All right, well,
that's kind of where he's at.
Let's move on to the next guy, and let's go with Cale Makar, who we both saw at the World Junior A Challenge on a record-setting night with a five-point performance. Now, it was against Switzerland. Do you have to take that into consideration as well?
I think you do, but you know what? I think you have to give the kid credit where credit's due as well. I mean, I know I think we watched maybe the second game of period together. I can't remember, but
yeah.
I had watched that Switzerland game with Cass Bruni, and who's our Calgary-based guy, and it was interesting. Prior to Bonneville, Cass, and I chatted about Makar, and he had seen him recently, and I had told him I had seen him the year earlier at the World Junior Challenge, and I checked my notes, and they were positive, but the exception was I noted that he was pretty small. So Cass mentioned that he had grown, and long story short, we talked about him and we dropped him into the 28th overall spot on our rankings. And that was just about 3 days before Bonneville.
Yeah.
So about three shifts into Bonneville, I turned to Cass and said, 28 is too low and we're going to need to move him up, which we did in our January list. And I'm sure based on our conversation you had with me, you weren't too shocked to see that we popped him into the top 10.
Yeah.
He's dynamic. He's incredible. Offensive instincts, I think, those quick feet. He can shoot. He can pass. And the one thing I really liked when I saw him in Bonneville was how hard he worked and just how competitive he was. I really noticed the competitiveness. And I think he'll need that trait next level, especially as he's, a bit of an undersized D. NHL scouts I talked to about him love him. None that I've spoken to, at least yet, were shocked at our top 10 ranking. And then Cass has seen him a couple times since Bonneville, and he's been good. And, of course, he was down in these parts in Cornwall for the top prospect game, where he really didn't, to be honest, didn't have a great showing. I think he just tried to do a little too much. But a pretty talented kid, and, you've seen this one yourself.
Yep, that's for sure. Mark Edwards from HockeyProspect.com, my guest right now on the Pipeline Show, courtesy of the Art Slinger Hotline. Let's move to Nico Hischier, who is, he's been a pretty high-profile player all season long, number two on the list in January at least, from the Halifax Mooseheads, putting up a ton of points this year, 76 right now in 44 games, 37 of those are goals. I believe next to Owen Tippett, he's the highest goal-scoring player in the class of 2017. Your take on Hischier?
Yeah, obviously, as you mentioned, there's not too many that follow prospects at all that don't know this kid by now. One thing I really noticed, going back to Grand Forks, watching him there last April at the U18, he really had that explosiveness in his stride. And early in the season, I saw him twice, and I didn't really notice that. It was one of the things I was kind of surprised at. And then, in viewing since, it was there again. I noticed it again. We moved this kid up to number two overall back at the beginning of December after being seventh the previous month. Obviously, he was second last month as well. I just saw him at the top prospects game, obviously, but then I went to Halifax 3 days later and I watched some back-to-back games versus Acadie Bathurst, which was Miranda's on that team, and then St. John, which for me was pretty much viewing for the 2018 draft, which is, you know, something we're got to take a quick look at here and there because we do put out that top 30 in our black book.
Right.
So he was obviously, everybody knows how good he was in Quebec City, and you know, he has people talking about challenging Nolan Patrick now and that kind of stuff. But he was good in Halifax, especially the first night against Acadie Bathurst. He did everything, including stopping a shot with a goalie pole, and then he went down the ice and set up the tying goal. Moran, by the way, won the game in early overtime with a beauty one-timer. The next night he was good, but didn't stand out quite as much against a really strong team, a much stronger team in the Sea Dogs. The thing I like about him, apart from the obvious ability to put up points, is that he's a very complete player. He seldom cheats. He's smart. He plays solid positional hockey. He's an effective forechecker, and I think he just makes good reads all over the ice. So I like both players. You talk about him and Patrick, but you know, Patrick's done okay since his return too, and obviously the injury thing was hurting him there, but he's been pretty good. So should be interesting to watch both as we head towards June.
Well, and the next player on your list, at least in terms of guys we haven't talked about, Middlestad's number three, but Elias Pettersson from Sweden was the number four player for HockeyProspect.com in January. Your take and what he showed you, maybe even at starting at the World Junior Championship or before that even?
Yeah, so no surprise with him fourth on our list. I really like this kid. He's listed as tall as 6'2". I think he might be a hair under that, but we'll find out at the combine, I guess. Late 98 birth, but he's only about 100, depending on where you see, 160, 165 pounds. Thought he was a bit snake-bitten in Montreal at the World Junior, but thought he still showed really well. He showed off his skill. He's got really good skill, really high skill. I thought he showed it plenty of times. He's not a physically strong player right now, and I thought that showed up a few times in Montreal and probably one of the biggest reasons that, you know, it hurt him. Plays with a lot of speed. He'll get involved both ends of the ice. I think he flashed his shot a bit. He's got a quick release. Really slick player, good hands. I think he's slippery. And he's not afraid to bring pucks to the net, which I think is important. And, of course, he's, you know, a smart kid, good hockey IQ. So, this is a player that I was really looking forward to watching in Montreal after seeing him last season. And really, other than, you know, the crooked numbers going on the board, which didn't happen as much as he would have liked, I thought he was really good, and he's still way up on our board.
And he's the top-rated Swede for you guys. I know there are a couple other Swedes as well ranked fairly high, and Timothy Liljegren and Elias Andersson, but Pettersson's still the number one guy for you out of Sweden?
Yeah, he's the guy. I think, you know, a team will have to be a little more patient just based on his weight right now. You know, he's not going to jump into an NHL lineup next year, although I've been wrong saying that before. But I would be surprised. But if you're patient on this kid, and Martin Necas as well is a little, you know, a little slight, that I think they're both going to turn out just fine down the road.
All right, well, let's go to the Czech forward that you just mentioned, and you pronounce it as Necas?
Yeah, I believe that's it.
Okay. All right, let's go. His first name is Martin. Martin Necas. I thought it was Nakash, but...
You might be right. I can't remember anymore.
Yeah. The Czech names are always interesting. Some of the ones... Because if it ends in an R, then it's Nakash. But this one, N-E-C-A-S. So I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, but a pretty good player, all said, but not a ton of points playing in the Czech League this year, 13 points in 35 games.
Yeah, he's playing, as you mentioned, he's playing pro in Brno, who hosted the U18 the city hosted the U18 a few years back. As I mentioned, much like Pettersson, he's a bit of a, he's slight in size, but also very skilled. They remind me each other in some ways because of their skill level. He's another one, he really competes hard. I thought he really showed that off. In Montreal, his compete level and just how hard he worked all over the ice. And it reminded me of Mitch Marner because I think obviously Mitch Marner's got amazing skill and the skating ability and everything, but I think one of the things that separates Marner from others is how hard that kid competes. And Nick Hass is much the same with that quality. He's not afraid to go to the net. You know, I saw him score a goal jamming a puck past a Denmark tender and doing just that. He's quick. He's quick on loose pucks. His anticipation is really good. His speed, he'll fly through the neutral zone. So this is another kid, much like Pettersson, that I really like. And, you know, he's just size concerns will probably scare some because of that slight frame or slight build right now. But I think given time, and especially when the team drafts him and they get him on a nutrition and their strength and conditioning you know, program, I think it'll really help them. And I'm interested to see these two players we just talked about down the road and what they end up bringing.
Mark Edwards from HockeyProspect.com joining us courtesy of the Art Slinger Hotline. Let's finish it up with Ryan Poehling, plays at St. Cloud State. He's only 18 years old and basically jumped right up from high school. I know he had 9 games in the USHL with Lincoln. But he's one of the, if not the youngest player in the NCAA this year. There might be somebody younger, but there won't be that many. 11 points in 28 games. He's got the size, 6'3", and 185, 190 pounds. Lots to like about Ryan Poehling.
Yeah, a good all-around game. I wish he was playing in the USHL. He's not going to wow fans, I think, with high-end skills, but he's a player coaches will like because of his commitment in all three zones. This is all-around smart play. As you mentioned, big kid, 6'2", 6'3", 190 range. I saw him last back in December. St. Cloud was visiting Western Michigan. There was obviously a ton of scouts there that night. And it was actually a back-to-back or two, so based on its proximity to Western Ontario, just about a four-hour drive, so tons of guys there. He was just okay that night. You know, he plays on a line with his brothers, and they're just not up to his level of play. It kind of made for a frustrating night in the rink scouting-wise, to be honest. And I traveled with an NHL scout that weekend, and we actually decided to forego the second night, and we went to watch the program, 2 hours coming back east. Chicago was in town to play the program, so we decided to do that the next night. But that said, he's having a pretty good year. He scored a bit, and, my chancellor was Wisconsin-based scout, Dusty, he's liked him, and talked to some NHL scouts who have seen him more recently than I did, and the feedback's been positive. Because back around that weekend, I heard things like this kid's living off his Hlinka and that kind of stuff. But more recently, hearing some real positive things about how he's been playing there. He didn't exactly, in fairness to him, he didn't exactly get a ton of ice time, so that made it difficult as well to assess him. But the word is going to be invited by USA to the U18, so that will obviously give him a chance to shine on a big stage.
Well, you mentioned at the start that you wish he was in the USHL this year. Do you think he's a bit over his head at the NCAA level?
I would imagine now, and like I said, I saw him back early the first weekend of December. I would imagine now his feet are wet and probably getting a little bit more ice time, but I just wish he was playing with some players that kind of matched his abilities, because a lot of players died kind of off his stick. Died off his stick. So I thought he was pretty good. I didn't think he was necessarily, over his head. And he's a big kid, so it's not like he's a small, weaker kid struggling with some older guys and stronger guys on the ice. Didn't see that at all. I just would have liked to have seen him play with some better players and maybe get a little more ice time.
All right, well, that's fair enough. All right, so when's the next ranking come out for HockeyProspect.com?
It'll be out sometime in the next 7 days, probably closer to day 7 than day 1.
All right, well, we'll look forward
to
that.
We'll get things updated, and this is the last one we released before the Black Book. So this is kind of a biggie here as we head into the stretch. And I always find once the calendar switches to January that time flies here. So I know looking at my schedule, trying to squeeze things in where I want to go and what I want to do, it's already looking tight. So Time flies, Guy. We're getting there.
That's true. Absolutely. Mark, appreciate your time today, as always, and for what you guys do with the Pipeline Show throughout the last year and a half, and hope we can keep it going to the draft.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for the call.
Mark Edwards from HockeyProspect.com, and you heard him mention it. The next ranking for his group will be coming out in the next week or so, and that's the last one before the final ranking and the Black Book comes out right before the draft. So, it'll be interesting to see. Well, it'll be interesting to see next week's ranking, and then again how much it changes over the next 3 months after that until the end of May and the early parts of June, when the Black Book usually comes out, because then obviously you've got the CHL playoffs in between, the World U18, the Memorial Cup. So lots of real key parts of the season still to come. So I'm always intrigued. And NHL Central Scouting stops their rankings after the regular season in the Canadian Hockey League. And by then the Frozen Four is done and things like that. But it's always intriguing to me why they do it. Then why they stopped then, and the answer I've always been given is that because a lot of the draft eligible players are done playing because their teams didn't make the playoffs or whatever, so they want to make sure that everybody they rank is on equal footing in terms of they just stop with the regular season, so everybody plays the regular season and then they end it from there. But I think that's a disservice to some players, because a guy could have a terrific U18 tournament, really help himself, or vice versa, guy could struggle in those pressure situations, and I think that's important to see too, let alone the CHL playoffs and then the Memorial Cup as well. So that's my take on it, but I could be way out to lunch. I don't know. You can let me know. Send me a tweet at @TPS_Guy. All right, well, that's going to do it for this weekend edition of the Pipecast. Thanks to all of my guests. Really appreciate them stopping by. Jimmy Connolly from USCHO, Nick Henry of the Regina Pats, and our friend Mark Edwards from HockeyProspect.com. And, of course, thanks to you, the listener, as well as always, for taking the time to download the show and wherever you're listening to us right now. Maybe you're listening to us at home or while you're driving. Or whatever you're doing, working out, who knows. But I appreciate it. Just want to let you know how much I value that you take the time to listen to the show and that you appreciate what the Pipeline Show is all about. Cheers. Until next time, everybody, my name is Guy Flaming. This is the Pipeline Show. See ya.